Do you know what it is like to have peace in the midst of calamity and confusion? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples while he was talking with them in preparation for the days when he would be gone and they would be alone in this world. We are reading now in the book of John. We're in the 14th chapter. And if you have your Bibles with you, and we'll open them at verse in chapter 14, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27. And we're going to go to the end of the chapter. Here are words that were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples, as I have just said, knowing that he would be away and they'd be left here in this world. Now, you know, living in this world is not easy. It's not easy for anybody. And living in this world as a Christian is certainly not easy. You will remember the Lord Jesus himself living in this world, and he was perfect, was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Living in this world for a Christian person has on many, many things that are disturbing and that are burdensome upon him. Here the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." So many people speak of peace. You so often hear the word used. Sometimes we're inclined to think that very few people actually have it. Because I'm inclined to think personally that when people do have a measure of peace, they learn something about it. Because otherwise, I think a great many people refer to peace as something in the far distant future. But they do not even understand, probably do not even understand what it actually would mean. For instance, when you're thinking of having peace, you do not mean that you're going to stop all activity. Peace is not being absolutely still. A paralyzed man is absolutely still. He doesn't have peace. No, peace doesn't mean that no one is ever moving at all, as if you had a group of children together and they were terrified by some monster among them and they were holding their breath in fear lest something happened to them. That's not peace. Peace is not the cessation of activity as much as it is the elimination of discord and of discontent. There are no conflicts in that sort of thing. Again, let me say that having peace is not a matter of everybody being exactly alike. Peace is not a matter of exact uniformity. You do not speak of peace specially because everybody moves exactly the same as everybody else. That's not necessarily what you mean when you speak of having peace. Nor is it absolute absence or total absence of danger. You couldn't go anywhere in the world and not have some danger. You could have peace even in the midst of danger. Nor is it complete freedom from frustration. There will be things that you can't do and things that you can't have. You still could be at peace. Perhaps peace could be understood as something like harmony. If you know about harmony in music, I don't know a great deal about it, but I have enough about it in my mind to think of this. I see a person sit down to a piano and strike perhaps 4 or 6 or 8 notes, and the way the notes that they select, when they strike, blend in a certain way to create a very pleasing sound. When these different notes agree with each other, you've got something we call harmony, and perhaps peace is something like that. Or perhaps we could say in another way that peace is something like health. Have you ever wondered what it's like, what you really mean when you say that you're healthy? Well, let me put it to you this way. If you happen to think of your teeth, are they healthy? How do you know? Isn't it true that you usually know if you have no aches or pains? Have your ears, are your ears healthy? How would you know? Isn't it usually when you have no trouble with them and they don't hurt, when you can hear reasonably well? So with everything. As far as your arms and legs are concerned, are they healthy and well? How would you know? Isn't it because you have no aches or pains in them? Well, something like that might be the way that you would have in mind by health, and something like that is the case with peace. Now, actually, a healthy person can work, and a healthy person can run, a healthy person can get tired, but that doesn't mean he isn't healthy. It's when there isn't any strain or stress, that kind of thing. But I want to come a little bit closer to the matter with reference to this matter of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He put in this phrase, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So we'll ask ourselves something like this. How would the world give you anything like peace? Isn't it true that so far as the world is concerned, if it was going to give you anything like peace and satisfaction, would be a matter of giving you everything you want? You have all you want to eat and what you want to eat and all that you want to drink, what you want to drink and all that you want to do, what you want to do. And if you don't want to do anything, you don't have to do anything. In other words, give you, give you, give you. Isn't that about the way in which the world would want to give you peace? Give you your own way in things? And of course, that won't make for peace, but still, isn't that about the way in which it would be? Well, that's not the way it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. My peace I give unto you. You'll get a little clue as to what this peace of the Lord Jesus Christ would be if you'll remember that this is what he said after he came out of Gethsemane. Do you remember how he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and how when he prayed in there he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood? You remember how he lay on his face and prayed for an hour at a time? He was burdened. His soul was exceeding troubled, nigh unto death. And yet he came out from there saying, my peace I give unto you. And what is the nature, then, of this peace, unless it be something like this? It is the peace that comes when you're free from all the things of this world. You yield everything over to God, and God takes care of you. You turn every concern you have and yield everything that bothers you into the hands of God to let God have His way. Then you can be quiet and at peace. This is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It was the peace that the Lord had when he was facing Calvary, coming out from Gethsemane, knowing that he was going to Calvary, and yet he had peace. But why? I do not know all the reason why, but I can tell you one thing. We read in the book of Hebrews that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. In other words, the peace the Lord Jesus had was grounded in the promise of God that God would keep him even through death. And this kind of thing comes to us. God gives us a peace that is free from this world's affairs. We don't have to have the money. We don't have to have the pleasure. We don't have to have the position. We don't have to have our own way in the world. We want the fellowship of God. We want to be in His presence. We want to be pleasing in His sight. And then these things are taken care of, and He assures us that He will forever keep us and forever be with us. Then the world can do as it will, and we're free from it, and we have peace from it. In verse 28, the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, you would rejoice when I, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. In other words, the suffering unto death, which the Lord Jesus was going to do when he came out right now with his disciples, and he was telling his disciples that he was going to be taken and crucified, and that he would be put to death. On the third day he would be raised from the dead. And he is telling them that if they really understood him and what was going to happen to him, and they really cared about him, they'd be glad this process was underway. You would rejoice. Because he's going to the Father. And going unto the Father meant for him yielding unto death. Going unto the Father meant for him yielding his human body to death in order that God might raise it from the dead in the newness of life. This suffering unto death would bring him to his Father. In verse 29 he says, repeat something that we have read earlier in John, now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. We need have no sudden surprise about this. This is God's way of doing things. Now notice verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. And I want to say this about that. There comes a time in our affairs when there's not much to say. Actually, when Satan seems to have power and control, and I'm thinking of some of you who are listening to me, even while I'm talking, Some of you are living in your own homes and you're in hard situations, and there are many things against you. Sometimes the things that are against you are hard to bear, and sometimes they come against you because of malice and because of envy. Some of you are facing situations where people are just unkind to you, and these things could be inspired by Satan himself, the devil himself persecuting you and surrounding you with the things that are actually hurtful to you. Now, at a time like that, there's not much to say. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. So you simply wait. There's not much to be said in the face of Satan's operation. Let him go on. All he can do is kill the body. God can raise the dead. All he can do is take away what you have. God will give you everything you need. So in verse 31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. And what do you think that was again? What was it that he did? Do you think this means he went out and did his daily duties? He did his daily round? He was to be faithful in this and that? No. You know what he was doing. Right from talking from them, he was going straight in to be tried and falsely accused and unjustly condemned and put to death. This is what he accepted. Because that the world may know I love the Father. Loving the Father meant he'd do the Father's will. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. I'm going straight to the cross. Arise, let us go hence. And mind you, in going straight to the cross, obedient to the Father, in this he had his peace, the peace he wants to give to you and to me, our God and Heavenly Father. Incline us toward thyself. Give us the grace to believe. Strengthen us to walk humbly before thee and to trust in thee. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.